This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories. And here at Our American Stories, we like to dig into the intersection of public policy and life as it's lived by ordinary Americans and the law. And today, for the next half hour at least, we're going to talk about eminent domain, and we're going to be talking to Bill Tong and Hillary Gowans. And Hillary is the managing editor over at the Illinois Policy Institute's she's the Illinois Policy Institute's managing editor, and she just does great work. She's a regular contributor for us. And, well, we're going to learn much more about Bill as we go along through this story. Bill and Hillary, I can't believe I'm saying that. Bill and Hillary, welcome to Our American Stories.
Thanks for having us.
You betcha. You know, Hillary and Bill, just give us a second here. I want Hillary, if she can, for the audience and the folks not listening, set up this story and also set the backdrop for eminent domain and folks who don't know that the Fifth Amendment. There are two actual places where property rights are protected in the Constitution. There's the patent provision in Article 1, and then there's eminent domain in the Fifth Amendment. Talk about that, if you could, and set this up for our audience, Hillary.
Sure. So when most people think about eminent domain, they probably think that it's referring to the government buying a cornfield to build a road. But what Bill and I are going to tell you about this evening is that there's been a huge shift over the course of the past several decades. And now what Bill is experiencing is a public university bulldozing a city block to build dorms because they say it's for a public use.
So up until recently, eminent domain and the Fifth Amendment meant something simple. You've got a piece of property, and so do other folks, but an interstate, a levee, something that is of public use that the government has to build to connect people is the only way that governments essentially seize land, and then they compensated you for that land. Does that sound about right, Hillary?
That sounds right to me.
That's the typical understanding. You know, the government, if they want to do something that is for the public good, which is a pretty broad and scary definition, frankly, but if they say they want to build a road or they want to build a new government facility, the government is supposed to negotiate in good faith with whatever property owner has that parcel of land. And I'll let Bill speak to this a little bit more. That's not necessarily been the case up at Northeastern Illinois University.
Well, Bill, tell us a little bit about your family life and a little bit about yourself before we dig in, actually, Bill, to your story and your experience with eminent domain in Chicago.
Sure. I grew up in Chicago. I am the fourth generation of my family, but the first to be born in America. To explain that, my great-grandfather came over in the early 1900s as a sojourner to earn enough money when he would send most of it back to support his family in China. And he only saw my grandfather, his son, for about a month in Chicago before he went back to China to retire for good. And then my grandfather replaced him here in Chicago. And he worked here most of his life because of the war in China with Japan. And he was only able to go back twice. So his kids, my father and my aunt, my dad's younger sister, grew up in China without him. And so he got drafted in the Army, and he found out, because he was literate in English, that he was on the path of citizenship by being a GI. So it changed his entire outlook. It changed the entire course of our family's history. For the first time, he could set down roots as an American citizen. He'd be able to buy land. He'd be able to own a business. So what he did was, after he got out from the service at the end of World War II, he went back to work for where he worked before, but then he decided to buy a Chinese takeout restaurant on the north side. And he lived down in Chinatown. So he opened this takeout in the same neighborhood down the street from, you know, the property that has currently been seized. And it was called The Lee. It was a takeout. It was run by family members. And it took a little bit of time in the late 40s, but the business took off and it got really busy. That was the edge of town back then. So my father, my grandmother, my aunt, and my grandfather commuted daily 363 days a year from Chinatown to run this takeout. After 7 years, they decided to build a new place. So my grandfather bought a new piece of property. That's on that strip of land that the university wants now. He bought it in 1954. He had a bigger restaurant built. He built living quarters on top because he didn't want the family to do the daily commute. And the other problem was there were no civil rights laws back then. The family could not rent in a white neighborhood. Nobody would rent to them. So he avoided that problem by building an apartment upstairs. And so the restaurant was our American dream. I grew up working there. My sisters grew up working there. You know, my dad retired at about the same age I'm now, about 56, 57 years old. And he enjoyed a fairly long retirement. My dad's been gone for almost 6 years now, but this he passed away before all this eminent domain stuff hit us. The university really hit us over the head with it. I mean, they didn't tell us about it. They didn't negotiate in good faith.
Well, this is not just a business for you then, Bill.
This was part of my life. This was my father's life, life's work. This was my grandfather's life's work. You know, that's what it represents. This was what they put their entire lives into.
Yeah, it's three generations of work at least. It's a home. It's got quarters underneath. It's a survival story.
My mother and my sister still live upstairs.
And so your mother and sister still live upstairs. Amazing. Well,
yeah.
We're gonna take a break. We're gonna come back on the other side, Bill, and then you're gonna tell the audience what happened and how eminent domain entered your life. How you learned about this. You're a guy just going about his business, and suddenly you're discovering this thing, eminent domain, and you're learning about the power of the state to seize, well, to seize almost everything. When we come back, more on this eminent domain subject, and we'll be talking about this a lot. Bill Tong and Hillary Gowans. Hillary is the Illinois Policy Institute's managing editor, and they do great work there on this very subject. Again, this is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories. Everywhere I go, I keep saying